Doctor Who, Short Trips. Black Dog by Dale Smith, read by Louise Jameson. Cardiopulmonary stabilizer, the man said, turning over a small silver beetle in his hands and reading the inscription on its thorax. He looked up at Leela and shook it at her. You want a pacemaker? 20 quid? Leela looked at the doctor questioningly. It's a machine, he explained with a wave of his hand. Rebuilds your heart if it gets damaged from any spare tissue you might have lying around. If my enemy tears my heart from my chest, I will still live? The doctor beamed. Yes. The smile vanished again as he added, provided your enemy hasn't had one too many cream cakes, that's a very expensive piece of equipment, Doctor. The man laughed coldly. You think I'm a doctor? That's sweet. Well, the doctor smiled as if he hadn't even noticed the sarcasm. When we found you in the middle of a medical surgery wearing a white coat, we did think we must have found the colony milkman, didn't we, Leela? Doctors are useful. They shipped ours out to somewhere worthwhile weeks back. I'm Jed. I'm meant to be the environmental officer, but I've been filling in all over the place since people started leaving, which tells you how much they care about the environment. Anyway, he held the beetle out to the doctor. You want it? Like you say, bargain. A more suspicious man might wonder why you weren't keeping it for yourself. Jed snorted. He drew the doctor and Leela's attention to the contents of the surgery. Shelf after shelf of expensive-looking biomachinery and box after box of assorted pills and medicines. At his feet he indicated a rather small travelling case embossed with the seal of the Earth Empire. Not going to fit it all in there, am I? Jed said. I'll be on the last shuttle, back to civilization, and the natives aren't going to know what to do with all this stuff. So you get a bargain, I get 20, and nothing gets wasted. Of course, said the doctor. We could just take what we want after you've gone. Jed fixed the doctor with a look. Then he dropped the silver bug onto the floor and squished it under his foot. Mood stabilizer, he said, picking up a green bug and reading its thorax. He offered it to Leela. You want a downer? Tenner? Leela's skin prickled with thick, heavy drops of rain as they walked down the street. Jed had offered her a coat, but she didn't want to be encumbered should the truce between the Earthmen and natives break and the two mighty armies clash again. After all, the doctor had told her they were here to witness the surrender of the defeated empire, the final battle between the Earthmen and the mighty warriors who had struggled to free their homelands. Or, rather, he had told her they would see Earth hand control back to the Canis Alphans. But she felt sure there must be more to it than that. Who would give up territory without a fight? Leela was sure the doctor would be proud of her reasoning. However, since they'd arrived, they had seen no signs of battles recently waged, nor even of the armies who she felt sure must have fought in them. The settlement was little more than a huddle of waxed tents battered by the first decade of the Alphan rainy season. The roads that linked them were more like muddy riverbeds, and the swampy plains that surrounded them could only protect the defender. None of it could surely provide any hope to an aggressor. Naturally, her first thought had been that the doctor had got lost again. When does the ritual begin? She had tried to whisper, but saw that Jed was looking directly at her. I mean, the not doctor had looked confused for a moment. Are you here for the ceremony? He'd asked, as if he thought it most unlikely. They didn't say they'd send anyone, I just assumed. You know the Empire, the doctor had grinned disarmingly. Somebody's still got to file the KSLP-01s. Jed had just blinked. You'll be needing somewhere to stay, he said. It's not until tomorrow. Now, as Jed led them to a place where they'd get a good bed for the night, Leela was impressed by his resolve. He seemed unconcerned by the coming battle. Leela decided to offer him some comfort. Do not worry, she said as they scuttled through the rain. This is a good place to fight. Your enemies will have come to you. This land is easy to defend. If you are brave, you will not lose it. Lose it? Jed echoed in disbelief. We had enough trouble convincing the Alphans to take the bloody place back. There was no battle? Leela asked.
No battle, Leela, the doctor assured her. Jed's people were here for one thing only.
Jed himself pointed into the distance. Do you see that structure over there? That's one of only four Benedrillion mines in this system. Benedrillion? Echoed Leela. They sent me here 5 years ago and then the bloody thing goes and dries up last year. Of course, everything moves at the speed of bureaucracy round here. Authorization to ship out finally came through last week, and then we couldn't get a shuttle until tomorrow night. Otherwise, you'd be standing in an empty street talking to yourselves. Goodbye, good luck, good riddance, the doctor intoned. They reached their destination, a tent of bamboo and waxed canvas, just like all the other buildings they had seen since arriving. But this one at least had pretensions. Its wooden frame arched and curved in strange directions, and smaller extension pods had been added to the main structure again and again. This was clearly the oldest building in the town, and as such, Leela decided it must be home to the village elders. Its doorway was a yawning jaw, with two burning eyes and glistening teeth painted onto the fabric. Jed pushed in as fast as he could, and the doctor followed close behind. But Leela stopped outside and wouldn't take another step. After a moment, the doctor's smiling head popped back through the canvas. Leela? We cannot enter the house of the wise ones without invitation.
This is a hotel, Leela. No one wise ever stayed in a hotel. Come on.
Before she could move, Jed appeared in the doorway. Problem? He turned his head as if noticing the door's markings for the first time.
Oh, him. Well, he's a case in point, isn't he? The Black Dog. What kind of a planet has him as a god, eh? Is it any wonder I can't wait to go home?
His head disappeared inside the beast's jaws again.
Come on, Leela, the doctor said.
She stepped inside.
Bell had lots of stories about vengeful gods, Jed told them, a glass of the local vodka in his hand.
As soon as they'd arrived, it had been obvious that he'd stretched the truth more than a little about the building being a hotel. After a few more glasses, Jed eventually let slip that it was a bar set up by the locals for the benefit of the human settlers, and that the doctor and Leela were the first paying guests the hotel had ever seen.
Bell was our mineralogist. He'd done a postgrad in xenotheology. He could see the gods' side to it. They're just there to put a face to nature, so they're bound to randomly kill you every now and again.
They also make the sun shine and the crops grow, Leela interjected, her voice full of respectful awe.
Not the Black Dog, said Jed. None of that for him.
The doctor listened intently.
Why would they continue to worship him? They don't. They just fear him. He's the only god they have, and they live in terror of him invading their dreams. There are no prayers or incantations to keep him away. If he comes, that's it. Day by day, you waste away, then you die.
It's an interestingly fatalistic belief, the doctor began.
Belief! Jed snorted and finished his drink. I've seen it happen.
He rested the glass down on the table and stood up.
Come on, I'll show you to your room. You must be tired.
Leela jerked awake with a cry, causing the doctor to glance over in surprise. Leela rarely made any noise that might give away her position to a potential enemy.
He noticed she was dripping with sweat and panting, as if she had been fleeing for her life. He went over and rested a gentle hand on her forehead.
"You're hot," he said, concerned. "How do you feel?"
She didn't answer.
"Leela?"
"I dreamt the dream, Doctor," she said hoarsely. The doctor considered this for a moment.
"Fear and superstition, Leela. I thought we were advancing beyond that."
"The black dog, Doctor," she said flatly. "It has claimed me." She pulled the thin bedsheet away from her. Between her leather cladding, Leela's skin was pocked with the indentations of sharp teeth. Dog's teeth. Jed rubbed his face with his hands and splashed cold water into his eyes. He winced, but it seemed to wake him a little. The doctor and Leela stood watching him. It hadn't taken them long to walk back to his surgery, only to find him the worse for wear. It had been a long night. He'd continued to drink vodka when he got back and had finished 3 bottles of the stuff that he hadn't wanted to waste. Shuttle regulations meant he wouldn't be able to take them back to Earth. "Are those marks what you've seen before?" the doctor prompted. Jed rubbed his face again and turned away. "Allergies," he mumbled, reaching for the last half-empty relic of his night's drinking. "I should have warned you about the size of the dust mites round here. I've got an antihistamine bug somewhere." "I am not a fool," Leela said.
Jed looked helplessly at the doctor, but he simply glared back. "You had the dream?"
Jed asked reluctantly.
Leela nodded. "You won't have it again," he told her sadly. "You won't have any dreams. Ever again."
The doctor reached out and took Leela's hand, but she remained oddly calm. She nodded, and then let out a sigh that seemed to take some of the starch from her bones. The doctor noticed that she didn't have her usual poise, that familiar tension in her muscles that said she could spring up and fight in an instant. Instead, she looked completely inert for the first time ever. It was unnerving to see.
"You should have warned her," the doctor growled. "I did. You told us a story. You'd seen it happen twice. Listen, I gave you fair..."
"Doctor..." Leela interrupted, her voice quiet but firm. "You must take me away, Doctor, into the wilderness. I am sick. I can feel it. I will put the rest of the tribe at risk."
"Leela, your tribe is a long way from here."
She looked up at him. She was still a child, especially compared to him. "No, Doctor," she said. "You are here." The Alphans didn't live far from the human settlement, and so the doctor didn't have far to go to the nearest village. It wasn't quite as he'd pictured it. The Alphans had clearly evolved to suit their environment and were squat little fellows with grey, waxy skin and nostrils in the top of their heads. Their homes were mud holes on the edge of a swamp. Some of them wallowed in the depths, all the way up to their eyes, and others lounged in the shallows. It was these that the doctor approached first.
"I need to talk to somebody about the black dog."
An elderly Alphan looked sadly up at him and then rolled deeper into the mud. But a few paces away, another glanced over sympathetically.
"You've had the dream?" she asked.
"No," the doctor told her, "but my friend has."
"I am sorry for your loss."
"I haven't lost her yet." But the woman just gave him the same sad look and followed her companion into the depths. The doctor looked around. He saw a doe-eyed boy who looked like he might still be a child, possibly a teenager, if the Alphans had such a thing. The boy watched him pick his way through the mud without once looking away, without once smiling. As the doctor sat down beside him, he trailed his webbed hand across the ground lethargically.
"Tell me the story of the black dog,"
the doctor encouraged him.
"Why bother?"
The boy didn't catch his eye. "There's nothing you can do."
"There is always something I can do."
The boy looked up at him and then looked away.
"We don't sleep very well,"
he started without preamble. "The dog can go a long time without visiting someone. They said it had slept for 10 years until my sister..." His voice tailed off for just a moment.
"But it's always there, you understand?
You can feel it prowling just at the edge of your dreams. Everyone can. It's hard to get a good night's sleep when you're wondering if tonight it will break through. So we sleep very little. Nap as much as we can. We try not to dream. If you'd asked us, we would have warned you to do the same."
"Has nobody escaped the dog?" the doctor asked. "Doesn't anybody fight back?"
"What good would that do? It's a god."
"Gods can be fought," the doctor said firmly. "They can be beaten."
The boy pressed his hand into the earth, watching the mud slowly devour it.
"We had other gods once, you know. That's what the priest says, anyway. Happy gods. Gods of drunkenness, gods of food and poetry. I can't imagine what it was like to be alive back then. Nobody must have been tired. But then the black dog came and one by one he devoured the others. Now there's just him. Once he gets the taste of you, he never lets you go. He sinks his fangs in until you just fade away."
"No," the doctor said, standing. "That can't be all there is to it." But he didn't manage to find anyone to agree with him. Leela lay on a hammock in the surgery, barely moving. Jed had placed a few medicinal bugs at strategic points across her body, but when the doctor came back, he could tell they were having no effect. Leela barely glanced at him when he returned, and when she did, her eyes had no fire. He gave her a smile, hoping to inspire confidence.
"Satisfied now?" Jed asked bitterly.
"Never," the doctor answered. "There must be something we can do. The problem in these kinds of beings grow by accretion, layers of myth forming around them. The further you are from the point of origin, the harder it is to uncover the truth of their nature. But it is in there somewhere. We just have to dig for it."
"These kinds of beings?" asked Jed.
"False gods," the doctor intoned.
"And what if it isn't false?"
The doctor didn't answer. "Leela," he said instead.
"Leela!"
She turned her head slowly, as if even moving was too much of an effort. How much longer could she have left?
"Has the dog been back?" he asked her softly, holding her hand in his. "Has there been any further contact?"
Leela blinked with great effort.
"No,"
she answered in a croak. He nodded and started unbuttoning his coat.
"Well, there's nothing for it then," he said, dropping cross-legged to the floor.
"If this creature is real, it must be telepathic in nature. I'll just have to make contact and see what I can learn straight from the, dog's mouth."
"Are you crazy? You're deliberately going to dream of the black dog?"
"I can't see any other option."
"Look at her. Look.
How long has it taken for her to end up like this? 4 hours? 5?
And she's young, strong. I don't think anyone has lasted this long in the last 30 years.
Are you that strong? How long do you think you'd last, Doctor?"
"No, I'm sorry. If you want to kill yourself, you're not doing it here."
"I don't have any choice if..."
The doctor stopped abruptly and glared at Jed. 30 years? You told us you'd been here 5.
Jed blinked. That was the first known case. Before that, the natives were polytheistic.
Idiot! The doctor hit himself soundly on the head. The boy in the swamp said, I can't imagine what it was like to be alive back then. Idiot!
Jed, when did the Earth Empire first settle this world? Wasn't that also around 30 years ago?
You're saying we brought the Black Dog here?
No, the doctor grinned. I'm not saying that at all.
Doctor!
Leela shuddered with a sudden spasm, and her eyes rolled back into her head. A pool of darkness had formed around her, a black aura in the air. Some kind of shape was forming within, sucking the light into it. It shifted as it grew, and the doctor and Jed suddenly both saw the yawning maw of a howling dog.
Go to the swamp, the doctor hissed urgently at Jed.
Find the young man who lost his sister. Tell him to bring as many people as he can here, now, if he wants to see the black dog banished.
Jed hesitated for a moment, then ran.
Doctor,
growled a deep voice from nowhere. Slowly, the doctor turned. The shadow had grown darker, larger, enveloping most of the room. The only points that weren't in shadow were Leela's fading body and the doctor. He stood in the centre of the darkness, one hand resting protectively on Leela's bare shoulder, his eyes peering up into the centre of the shadow. If he was afraid, it didn't show on his face. As he gazed up into the dog's insubstantial body, his eyes twinkled in the darkness.
Bad dog, he said sharply, and beamed.
The black dog growled again.
Oh, yes, it muttered. Very funny. My turn.
For a moment, nothing happened. But then Leela shifted suddenly, a low moan of pain escaping from her lips.
Well, if you can't take a joke, the doctor mumbled.
Oh, this is incredible, the dog exclaimed joyfully.
The dark shadow twisted and stretched until the doctor could make out the fully formed shape of a head. Pinpricks of light glistened, the light reflecting off razor-sharp teeth.
I've never tasted anyone so strong. The power, the energy. Your friend is inexhaustible, Doctor.
The creature let out a howl, and the shadow doubled in size again. It pressed at the fabric walls of the surgery. They couldn't hold it, and the building tore open. The shadow leapt out into the damp night air, and it howled again, unconstrained. Leela moaned in response. The creature cocked its head.
It purred. Did I say inexhaustible?
The doctor's face grew stern.
I imagine you won't listen if I tell you to leave her alone, he asked.
I never knew, Doctor.
Its voice trembled with anticipation.
All the others died long before they could feed me this much, with this much power to call on. No more skulking in dreams, Doctor. Soon I shall feel the earth under my feet, taste real blood in my mouth. I can hunt whom I choose in the real world. I can live.
That won't happen, the doctor warned darkly. The dog laughed throatily.
You can't stop me.
The doctor paused, just for a moment. Then he said,
Probably not, but they can.
He turned and gestured out into the darkness. The black dog turned its head and looked outside itself for the first time. The world was out there, dark, sodden and cold. The streets were muddy riverbeds and still the rain fell. The few human colonists who were left ignored the rain as they tried to make sense of what was happening on the fringes of the settlement. One or two searched for weapons, but then seemed to realise that weapons would do no good.
This was an uprising. There could be no mistake. Through the mud and the rain, the Alphans were coming. They moved slowly, almost uncertainly, their slick grey bulks pausing between each step, as if deciding whether they could survive so far from the swamp. But two figures were urging them forwards. One was Jed, holding his hands over his head in a vain effort to keep his head dry, shouting the odd instruction to keep the crowd moving in the right direction. The other was the teenager the doctor had met. He moved with more urgency than the others. When they started to lose direction, he snapped and barged them back into motion. When the black dog saw them, it roared. The Alphans immediately fell to their knees in the muddy streets and wept. Only the teenager stayed on his feet. He shouted something up at the dog, but the wind and the rain took his words. It was clear that he hadn't told his followers just where he was herding them. Some had already started to turn on him. They'd spent all their lives hoping never to see the black dog.
"Little men," the black dog snarled. Now, when it spoke, it was as if even the rain had been silenced. "To dream of me is to die. Are you so certain you want to know what happens when you see me with your own eyes?"
A shudder went through the crowd.
"I can tell you what will happen."
The doctor stood beneath the dog's black shadow, his hands in the air as if he intended to pull it back down to the ground. Leela lay at his feet, barely alive, still tethered to the black dog by the smoke.
"You will see this dog muzzled," the doctor declared. "Not by you," the black dog warned.
The doctor smiled.
"No, by her," he told the crowd. "By Leela. Of the Sever team. You think the black dog's beaten her, don't you?"
the doctor shouted to the Alphans.
"You have no idea. This girl is the greatest hunter you have ever seen. The greatest hunter who has ever lived, in fact. Leela came from another world dominated by a mad god. The people lived in fear of him, exactly as you do. But not Leela. She hunted that god down and killed him. Now her people live in freedom. She can do the same here. You can be free of it. You can be free."
There was a ripple of nervous voices through the crowd. Could this be true? The doctor looked at each and every one of them.
"Oh, I know, she looks dead. But believe me, that's just the start of it. No, don't believe me. Believe her. Leela. Leela."
The crowd began to mutter as Leela's heavy, dry eyes flicked open.
"Doctor."
There was a gasp from the crowd. The girl's body looked broken and destroyed, yet her voice had been young and clear. The black dog pulsed angrily but said nothing. The teenager who had herded the crowd here stood and yelled loudly.
"Yeah," he cried. "Please, Leela, destroy our god."
A whisper passed through the crowd.
"Come on, Leela," the doctor urged. "Tell them how you'll do it."
Leela felt the dog tremble above her.
"I feel your fear," she told it.
"I'm not afraid of you," the dog snarled, teeth bared.
But Leela rolled and found that at last she could break free of the creature's grip. Its paw tried to flop down on her again, but she was up on her feet before the claws struck the ground. Her muscles felt tired, but at least they were hers once more. Leela's heart beat loud in her chest. The creature had devoured her, yet here she was again, whole again.
"It is a trick," she announced. "Doctor, you are right. This is no god. This is just some poor mad beast."
As she said it, she knew it was true. When the dog had first attacked her, it had seemed as tall as 1,000 men. Now it was shrinking visibly before her eyes. It snapped and snarled and scratched, but what animal wouldn't? Yes, it was dangerous, but Leela had faced down any number of dangerous beasts and emerged victorious. The black dog raced towards her, its teeth glistening in the moonlight. But there was no cunning to it, just fear and blindness. "Come," she said. "I do not fear you." Razor teeth flashed at Leela, but she dodged aside with ease. The giant dog had no control over its momentum, and it crashed past her, slipping on the wet ground as it tried to stop. By the time it managed to turn and look at her, Leela was smiling happily. "It is dead, Doctor," she pronounced. The dog cocked its head in confusion. As Leela extended her left hand to it, palm out, the dog snarled, but lifted its own left paw in submission. Leela smiled as she saw the Janus thorn trembling there. As soon as he was sure she was her old self again, the doctor made their excuses and steered Leela away from the settlement and back down the muddy path that led to the TARDIS. They left without a word to the Alphans, who up until then had been surrounding them, trying to elicit more stories of Leela of the Sevateem and her many powers and adventures. The doctor deflected all inquiries with a few vague words about the importance of good dental hygiene. "Doctor," Leela asked, "in my dream, the dog defeated me, but when we fought in reality, it was weaker. You did something to it."
"Ah, well," the doctor demurred.
"I believe you tricked it," she pressed. "You stole some of its power and fed it to me." The doctor paused with the key in the TARDIS lock.
"I did no such thing," he told her. "I just worked out what the black dog was. It was the Alphans themselves and you who did the rest."
"And what was it?"
"Put very simply, it was an idea. 30 years ago, the Earth Empire came to this world and drained it dry. The black dog was the inhabitants' response to that."
"That is silly," Leela answered uncertainly. "I did not imagine it, Doctor."
"Well, of course you didn't. Who said you did?" he blustered indignantly. "I suppose you think an idea can't affect the real world. Well, this one could. Can you imagine the damage it could do if it got off this planet? Self-aware, self-replicating. Every ounce of belief the Alphans fed it made it stronger, and the stronger it became, the more real it was."
"My mind was invaded," Leela said uncertainly, "by a creature."
The doctor sighed. "By an idle whimsy, with ideas above its station and access to vast untapped resources of psychic energies. But you defeated it." The doctor could see she was seeking reassurance.
"How do you defeat an idea?"
He tapped the side of her head. "It's still in there somewhere. It could still evolve, become relevant again, come back even stronger. Which is why I think we should get you back to the TARDIS sooner rather than later."
"I defeated the creature once, I will do it again."
"That's the spirit. You can't destroy an idea, but you can make it irrelevant. Introduce an opposing one, a stronger one, a better one." "I had a hunch that the Alphans' desire to be rid of the dog would make sure the right idea won out in the end. Then again, ideas combine in unpredictable ways. There's no telling where they might end up."
Leela's eyes dropped to the floor. "You said I was the greatest hunter to have lived. Is that how you see me, Doctor?"
The doctor took her hand gently and looked around at the muddy world. "Well, it's definitely how the locals see you now," he said with a grin. "Come on. I think we should be moving on before you inspire a cult or three."
Moments later, the TARDIS dematerialized, the grind of its engines fading into the hiss of the Alphan rain. Black Dog by Dale Smith was read by Louise Jameson and is a Big Finish production.